Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter in Sefer Yechezkel. This is a very fascinating perek in that it is a moshel within a moshel. It is a story within a story. The primary audience of this perek is the king of Egypt. So again, Yechezkel is focusing outwards to the nations. He's focusing southwards to the powerful king of Egypt. And this prophecy is given, as we see at the very beginning of the perek, Ba'achas Esrei Shana, the 11th year, Ba'ashlishi Be'echad LaChodesh. It's on the third month and the first of the month, so we're just before the destruction of Yerushalayim. And at this point in time, although there is a siege on Yerushalayim, the Israelites still turn southwards trying to trust in Egypt, and unfortunately that is not going to be a successful notion. So Yechezkel is trying to disavow both Israel and Egypt of their power. And so the way he does that is he turns to Egypt and he says the following. There's three sections. The first one is the immediate mashal, which is the cedar tree. So he says, Ben Adam, Emor el Paro melech Mitzrayim, tell Pharaoh the king of Egypt, ve'el Hamonoi, and to his populace, El mi domisa begodlecho. Who do you think you're so great like? Meaning like, in history, who do you think you are like that you can be so successful against the Babylonians? Ah, hinei Ashur, Erez balvonan. The kingdom of Assyria was like a cedar in Lebanon, like so in the forests of Lebanon. Of course, the national flag of Lebanon today still is the cedar. It's the green tree in the white and red flag. So it describes this beautiful towering cedar, which is higher than the rest. Its branches, it sticks out much further than the rest. And it grows around water. It stretches its branches out. It stretches its roots out. It's tall. It's got many branches, many leaves, and all the flora and the fauna enjoy the shade of this particular cedar. And it stretches out and could not be touched by anybody else. And in fact, it's so powerful that this cedar is begun Elohim Biroshim Loidamu El Seiposav. There was no other tree which had similar branches, looked so beautiful, Varmonim, Loihayu Kiporasov, Ko Eitz, Began Eden, Loidamo, Elov Biofyo. There was no garden in Eden that looked as beautiful as this. Yofe Asisiv and all the other trees were jealous of it. What is going on over here? So this is Assyria being compared to Egypt. Egypt being compared to Assyria, and Assyria being compared to a cedar tree in its beauty and its power. So what's going on over here? So first we need to ask ourselves, what made Assyria so special that it gets all this? So Rashi, very fascinatingly, is quoted as and tells us that the first is that they weren't part of the Dor HaPalaga. Way back when in Parshas Noach, when all the nations came together to make the Migdal, to make the tower, to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashur, the Assyrians, were not amongst them, which stood for them as a schus, to be unique and to stand out in future times. Similarly, the Rashi points out that when Yonah, in more contemporary times, Yonah ben Amittai came as a prophet to Nineveh, to the capital of Assyria, they did do teshuvah. So that was held in their merit, and that's why they were zoicha to really a tremendous, tremendous, powerful kingdom. So what is the meaning of all these details? So the Malbim points out the shade, the water, the other creatures coming and enjoying its shade. These are all symbols and metaphors of success, wealth, and military might for Assyria. So Assyria is the, sort of this towering nation. But then there's that strange description that means to say that it was better than all the trees in Gan Eden. What does that mean? Like, the cedar was better than the Eden trees? What does that mean? So the Malbim says that really, it means, metaphorically speaking, is that from the time of creation, from the time that Eden was in action, there was no more powerful empire that existed in the world. So meaning, all the time, this is we're talking about now, you know, well over 3,000 years, we're talking about where nations, you know, moved from anthropologically from individuals to hunter-gatherers to villages to cities to nations, to nation states. and ultimately empires. This is the Assyria was the first and most powerful since creation. That's what it means from the times of Gan Eden. And what does it mean the other trees are getting jealous of it? So the Bible points out that this refers to those other great nations in heaven who did not reach the same heights, but actually more importantly and more specifically to us is the tzaddikim of the all other generations who saw the power that Assyria wielded, but not worthy of that power, and they prayed for its destruction. So that's why the next section, which runs from Pasuk Yud to Yud Dalet, refers very specifically to what's going to happen to it, because Hashem says, "Yana sher gov hato bekoma," because you grew arrogant in your tallness, your height. By yitain tzamartoi el bein avosim, you placed your crown among the high branches. Romlev avoy begavoy. That's why Hashem says, "Vet nehu beyad el haguyim." I'm going to place you in the hands of the mighty nations. And I'm going to chase you out. And he describes how the nations will all come and chop you down and take you to pieces, and you'll no longer be this resting place for the rest of the nations. So that you're going to be placed in the place of death in the netherworlds. Then it goes even further. The last part of this parak closes up with from Psukim Tes Vav to the very end, where it describes, Yechezkel goes on to describe a very interesting thing. Beyom Ridatoi Sha'olah, the day that you go down to the netherworlds, to Sha'ol, which literally means, you know, Gehinnom, He'evalti kiseisi olav estohom, va'imna na'aroseh va'yikalu ma'im rabim. So I, he'evalti, sounds like I was mourning, I covered you over in the depths, and I stopped all the water flowing to you, I made sure it's not going to reach you anymore. And all the trees of Gan Eden, which were the wonderful ones who drank your water, gamhem ito yardu sha'ole el chalal echerev, and they all will go down into the victims of the sword. So what's going on over here? Does it mean Hashem's mourning? So the mama says, no, it doesn't mean Hashem's mourning. It means to say that Hashem is covering over. It's sort of like, you know, you can imagine the metaphor of it being buried in the ground because it's dead. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like an avel, is covered. They are disconnected from society. He is covering up the cedar as it is being shorn into the ground. The Rashi pointed out that it's not just covering. In itself, the Avelim are not Hashem, but those who depended on this nation. All the other subsidiary states and all the allies are those people who are going to be brought down with. And that's what the Psukim mean when it talks about Kol Atzei Eden Mifchav Tov Lavonon Kol Shesemayim Gamheim Ito Yordu. All the other ones who drank its water are going to also go down to the pit because they're going to die with it in their alliance to it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu concludes, if that's the case, El mi domiso kocha bekavod vegodel ba'atzei Eden. So Egypt, who do you think you're like? Vuralto el atzei Eden el erez tachtios b'soich arelim tishkav eschal alecherev hu paroi v'cholamona. Like they did, so will you. Pharaoh, don't think you're going to escape. Don't think you're more powerful than the Assyrians. And look what happened to them. So you, Pharaoh, don't trust your strength. And of course, the secondary audience over here is, and therefore Israel, don't trust them because their days are numbered. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.